Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
All right. Well, we are looking at gold this hour, Rachel.
That's right. And it looks like gold has regained some of its sparkle for consumers here.
Just in time for the Olympics, too, in a way. Yeah, so as you said, gold, the demand in Singapore, at least, in the second quarter of 2021, up 124%. And this is compared to the same period last year.
That's right. Worldwide, though, consumer investment in gold increased in the second quarter of 2021. But according to the latest World Gold Council's Gold Demand Trends Report, some investors were a little less bullish. To find out more, we're joined on the line by Andrew Naylor, and he's the head of public policy and ASEAN at the World Gold Council. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us again today.
Good evening. Thanks for having me back.
Always good to have you on the show, Andrew. So first, let's start off with the numbers for the second quarter, because we caught up in the first half of the year and it looks like things are picking up when it comes to gold demand. What's driving this?
That's right. I mean, if you look at the latest figures, gold demand in the second quarter is down slightly year on year. But compared to Q1, we're starting to see recovery, and that's really driven by consumer demand. We like to talk about gold having this sort of dual asset nature. It's both a consumer product and there's institutional investment interest. Consumer demand has picked up. Jewelry demand is up 60% year on year. Bar and coin demand is up 56% year on year. And if you look at tech demand, that's where gold is used in manufacturing or technological applications. That's also up by about 18% year on year. And that's driven by consumer spending. So when consumers are more confident, when the economy is doing well, and we're starting to see the green shoots of economic recovery, if you like, that percolates through into increased consumer demand.
All right. So, Andrew, what were the key factors then with the resurgence in heritage jewelry demand in China?
And that's part of it. I mean, okay. The demand for gold is global. When you look at retail markets, China is by far the largest market. And yes, there's been significant recovery in particular in jewelry and bar and coin demand in China. And that certainly had an impact. But demand for gold is global. If you look at ETF demand, that has started to pick up again. That tends to be concentrated in Western markets, which is where the world's largest ETFs are based. And in the last quarter, we have seen net inflows into ETF structures after the outflows that we saw at the end of last year and the beginning of this year. So institutional investment demand is starting to recover. It's not fully recovered yet, mm-hmm. but consumer demand is really underpinning gold demand at the moment.
We're speaking with Andrew Naylor, Regional CEO, APAC ex-China at the World Gold Council. Andrew, talk to us about the numbers here in Singapore, though. Over 100% year-on-year increase in gold demand in the second quarter.
That's right. I mean, demand in Singapore is robust. When you look at demand on a per capita basis, Singapore has one of the highest per capita rates of gold consumption in the world. And that's not surprising, because Singapore is a major wealth management center. Gold is seen as a very effective preserver of wealth. It's a physical asset. There's no credit risk if you own it outright. Singapore is also a very safe and secure place to store gold. So we're seeing a lot of new interest, not just in demand for gold in Singapore, but also demand for services in Singapore. Singapore is a regional hub, if you like, for custody, the custody of gold worldwide. But Singapore also plays an important role in the wholesale market. It's a major refining center. It's a major trading hub. About 600 tons of gold is traded every year in Singapore, imported and exported to markets across Southeast Asia. So demand in Singapore is robust, but Singapore actually plays quite a significant role in the broader gold market. The final point I would make on Singapore as well is lately we're seeing, well, over the last couple of years, we're seeing new innovations in the gold market, in particular in the digital gold space. And new digital gold products. And Singapore is an important anchor point for these products. And we're seeing lots of innovation in the market from Singapore.
Andrew, what about this report that you have on India that it's seeing a rising number of gold auctions there? And according to this report, that jewelry demand was 60% higher on year, it's still below pre-pandemic levels. Could this have an impact on the demand from India on the numbers?
That's right. I mean, gold demand, jewellery demand is up 60% worldwide. India is the second largest retail market for gold. It's very much a jewellery-dominated market in India. Very sadly, we have, you know, we've seen an uptick in COVID cases in India, and that certainly had an impact on consumer spending and demand for gold. And some of the auctions that we saw were actually an indication of what gold is often used for, and that's as a store of value and a source of emergency funds. So people are selling gold to realize cash when it's needed. But certainly, as the second largest consumer market, what happens in India is very significant and has an impact on the global gold market.
Let's talk about central bank interest, though, because we seem to have seen it reignite somewhat in the full first half numbers, 39% above the five-year average for the period. Which central banks are buying and why?
That's right. Central banks are net buyers again. They were net sellers in Q3 last year, but we're back in a net buying position, which is where we've been actually since about 2010. But this has been driven in the last quarter by a few central banks in particular, Hungary, Thailand and Brazil, and a few other central banks have added collectively about 200 tons to gold reserves. But central banks, they're driven by different factors, if you like. So when the economic situation is very, very uncertain, you see lots of institutional investor interest. That's partly a driver of central bank demand, but also central banks buy when they have the capacity to add to their reserves. So when the economic outlook is looking better, central banks don't have to deploy emergency liquidity funding. They therefore have the capacity to purchase more gold to increase their reserves. And so that's what we're seeing at the moment. The reaction to both economic uncertainty on the horizon, but a general view that the situation is manageable and that the economic outlook in the medium and longer term is looking more promising.
Okay, Andrew. So let's talk about the supply front. I know the last time we spoke, just a few months ago, we had quite an in-depth discussion about recycled gold. And that seems to have declined by 2%, while we've seen an overall pickup in mining. It's up 16%. Can you talk to us about those numbers? Why the decline in recycled gold when, as you mentioned, perhaps it's being cashed in as a store of value in some places?
Well, the first thing I'd point out is that the demand for gold tends to always outstrip supply, mine supply. So you always have to have a buffer to meet demand through recycling. What's happened on the mine side is that last year, because of the lockdowns, because of COVID, there were significant logistical constraints placed on production, and we saw in some markets mines temporarily suspending operations. That was a direct result of the logistical impact, if you like, of COVID and the pandemic. Recycling last year was up because of the very, very high gold price. It was at a record high. Gold was one of the best performing assets last year. And gold, as I said, is seen as a store of value. So a lot of consumers, when the gold price is very high, they want to bank those profits. They do that by selling, and they'll sell to a refiner or a scrap dealer who will then recycle the gold. What's happened so far this year is that gold prices pulled back, in particular at the beginning of the year. And so we saw less selling because consumers were perhaps taking a more long position on gold. And we saw more consumer buying, so that's why we're seeing more subdued recycling figures at the moment.
All right, Andrew, going forward then, what do you think will be the story in the second half of the year?
Well, gold has this dual nature, so I'll talk about institutional investment demand first. I think the biggest factor here is going to be the inflation story and an assessment of where inflation is going. There's uncertainty about whether inflation will be temporary or sustained, so there is quite a bit of uncertainty there. But institutional investors, they allocate because of a number of reasons. One, economic uncertainty. Gold is seen as a hedge against risk. It's also seen as a way to mitigate the impact of inflation. It's also a very liquid product. Over $175 billion is traded every single day. So because of those reasons, I think institutional interest in gold will be sustained throughout the year. We're not in a situation where we were last year, where you had profound economic uncertainties. We still have a lot of uncertainties. We don't know what the shape, nature, timing of the recovery will be. And in that kind of environment, you will see institutional investors look for a safe haven look for a store of value, and gold can fulfill that. But then on the consumer side, I think we're going to see more of a consumer story this year. Because of the general recovery, I think we'll see continued consumer interest in gold. So the figures that we've seen the first half of this year, I expect those trends to continue.
Wonderful, Andrew. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us this evening. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. We've been speaking with Andrew Naylor, Regional CEO, APAC X China, at the World Gold Council. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.